So I go in, I meet the woman, I take her vital signs, and I think, you have the flu. Nobody comes to the ER at 11:30 at night for the flu. This is very inconvenient for me, thinking now I'm going home. And he said, hey, would you mind drawing some blood work on her? I went over and looked at the results, and I immediately paused, called the doctor over. She didn't have the flu. Paying attention to your story at work can, in the kindest and gentlest of ways, show you flaws in yourself where there's a gap between what you say you believe and what you really trust and are living out.
Camera's running right now.
Okay. Yeah. And we're wearing the same clothes. Must be the same day.
You don't have to tell people that. People wouldn't know.
No, they would never.
They're not really taking notes on what clothes we're wearing.
Fair enough.
This is our summer vacation. We are actually in... I'm going to tilt this thing a little bit because we're a little off-center.
Sure.
We are at a camp in Montana at a beautiful setting. And there's actually a stream that's rushing near here. And I wanted to get it in the shot, but it would make the noise too noisy.
It's
so
beautiful.
We couldn't do it. But we're talking about our stories and your story. Everybody has a story. Your story matters immensely, but nobody gets the story that they want. And a deep part of all of our stories is work. God made us to create value. Dallas Willard used to define work as the creation of value. And we were talking with some younger people today, and that question of what do you want to do with your lives? They're both involved in coaching right now, but it can be so overwhelming, but also so exciting. And of course, it goes by so fast. And there's a wonderful verse in the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 5:18, where the author says, "This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for people to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot." So a big part of your story is you will have labor under the sun. That's kind of that word for this level where we're not able to see the transcendent world on the other side of the sun. And it will be toilsome. That's why they call work work. But to find satisfaction in it, that's a gift and that's a good thing. And so tell us a story about that.
About work. One of the things that I want to say before I tell a story, too, is when you think about in Scripture, how many times is an occupation mentioned in Scripture? And I will often have people guess if I'm doing a talk, and then I will have them write down 543, to which most people will gasp, and then I invite them to add a 3 to that number. 5,433 times an occupation is mentioned in Scripture.
This is like over 5,000 times.
Huge part, way more than prayer and love put together. This is a huge part of our lives. And sometimes when we talk about faith and work and our stories, it's really about what I as a Christ follower can bring to my work. But there's also times in which paying attention to your story at work can, in the kindest and gentlest of ways, show you flaws in yourself where there's a gap between what you say you believe and what you really trust and are living out. So again, I used to be an emergency room nurse years ago, and I had been working a bunch of double shifts. It was not long after I met you, because after we met, we only had 3 weeks together before I moved to Chicago to finish seminary. I was working double shifts to get extra money. I was tired. It was about 11 o'clock at night. The new shift was coming in, so the doctor was going to give report, and we were getting ready to go home. And the doctor turned to me and said, "Nancy, we just had a new patient come in. Will you admit her while I give report?" And did I mention I wanted to go home? I've been a Christian long enough to know you sit on the inside where nobody can see you. So I said, I'd be delighted to do that. And inside I thought, why me? Why me? Nobody else has been working double shifts. Nobody else is leaving in 3 weeks to do grad school in Chicago. I'm tired. I want to go home. And again, without even realizing it, my focus was so much on myself. And here I am in a service industry. So I go in, I meet the woman, I take her vital signs, I take a history and physical on her, and I think, you have the flu. Nobody comes to the ER at 11:30 at night for the flu. This is very inconvenient for me. Her husband and her two small children had gone to the mountains that day because of her work schedule. She was going to meet them tomorrow, so she thought she better figure out what was wrong before she went up there. So I went and showed the doctor the test results, or the history and physical results and thinking, now I'm going home. And you say, hey, would you mind drawing some blood work on her and waiting for the results before you go home? Glad to do that.
Sin.
Oh. So I drew the blood, sent it back. Maybe 20 minutes later, the results came up on a fax machine. If you're under 40, you can Google it. It's a machine where paper spits out of it and gives you the results. So I went over and looked at the results, and I immediately paused, called the doctor over. She didn't have the flu. She had fulminating leukemia. She never left the hospital. She stayed there for 6 weeks. I met her husband eventually and her children. I stayed with her that night till 2 in the morning, till her sister got there. By the time she died, she was unrecognizable. Her face was so swollen and bruised. And on the way home, I feel like God whispered to me, you're getting ready to go to seminary. You're going to be a pastor. You're going to study ministry. And I put a woman in front of you tonight, and all you thought about was yourself. And again, when I'm home alone reading my Bible, I can think I'm a pretty good person. And when I pay attention to my story, I realize that I can so easily get preoccupied with my own self. And all God was asking me to do was to be present with somebody for maybe 45 minutes. And again, it's something that I kept coming back to as a nurse when I would start my shifts. Who might I miss? Who might I overlook? Who might I be more preoccupied with myself for and fail to meet the needs that they're for? And I think that's the intersection of faith and work. How do I show up in my job to really serve people?
I've been reading very slowly through this translation of this old book, The Practice of the Presence of God. And Brother Lawrence talks so much about work, although I kind of didn't notice that before. But he spent most of his life working in the kitchen. And in one place, he says his basic practice was, it's all the way around work task. At the beginning of the task, I would ask God for grace and say, since you have this for me to do, would you be with me while I'm doing it and help me to ask you for help and receive whatever it is that I can offer? And then he said, while I'm doing it, I would talk to God in an intimate way. You are my friend. And then ask him for help when I had something that was kind of tricky to do. And then after it was done, I would look back on it. And if I did anything right, I would thank him because I knew that was just a gift. And then when I didn't, when I messed something up, when I did it badly, when I got frustrated, when I was angry, when I was preoccupied with myself, this was what struck me. I wouldn't get discouraged. I would just remember, on my own, I'm capable of nothing better. And I would ask God to forgive me. And then immediately restart again. Okay, so God, would you be with me now? And it's hard for me not to get discouraged when I read those words, because I think I can teach on this stuff and I can read those words and then I can go for minutes and hours, such long stretches of time.
Oh, I would add days and weeks and months and years, but feel free to stick with minutes. Sure.
And just not think about that at all, not think about God at all. How do you not get discouraged? Because I think you're pretty good at, but maybe I'm wrong, at not getting discouraged when you say, oh man, I blew it again, I blew it again.
Two things come to mind. It's what it means to be human. That's what separates me from God. I rarely get the two of us confused, although I used to. And the second thing is, I think one of the most important spiritual, let's call them practices, if we have to call them anything at all, is finding our way back to God. Is that in that moment when I pay attention to my frustration or whatever, my meanness, my avoidance, whatever it is, and I finally come to realize, oh, I say I believe in this, but I'm not living this out. How do I find my path back to this core center in me where it's me and God? How do I wear that path well enough? Sometimes I have to get a machete out and cut the grass out to get back there. But the practice, the work of finding my way back to God, I think is one of the most important things we can do in our spiritual life.
I just was thinking about the old fairy tale Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, the breadcrumbs.
Like, you got to leave breadcrumbs. Yeah. And then you're going to get lost.
Yes.
But if there's breadcrumbs there, you can follow those back to God on the bread of life.
And then way more important than feeling like I get it right all the time, which of course isn't true. and doesn't make us feel closer to God. It's every time I find my way back, He's sitting there waiting for me, so glad I'm back.
Yeah.
That transforms you.
Yeah, and that's part of what Brother Lawrence was convinced of that I think that I have a harder time with is at the core of his being, believing, trusting that God is good.
Yes. I think
and
we
it's
all
always
struggle
saying,
with
come
that.
On home, come on home.
Yeah. I think Dallas said, we believe that God loves us, but we don't trust that God loves us.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, the invitation today, at the start of each task, whenever you remember, whenever you think about, God be my dear friend, and I offer my service to you while you're doing it, as you think about it, talk with God. Afterwards, just look back on it, thank Him for what you got right, and when you got something right, instead of living in discouragement, which is just no help, find your way back.
When you get something wrong, find your way back.
Yeah, yeah. That's our story. We're sticking to it.
Hey, if you enjoyed that video, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any future teachings from John Ortberg here at Become New. My name's Tim, and I'm a part of the team here. This series is all about stories. Everybody has a story, and everybody's story matters. And we want to know about your story, whether it's a story of coming to faith or a story of spiritual growth. Whatever it is, we're here for you. You can email that to us at connect@becomenew.com, or you can text it to us. You can also sign up for daily reminders whenever we drop a new video via text by texting the word become to the number 855-888-0444. You can also send us prayer requests there. There's a team of us that meet to pray each weekday for viewers just like yourself. If you'd like to receive the emails that go along with each video, be sure to check that out at becomenew.com/subscribe. More than a video to watch, this is really a community to belong to, and we're so glad that you're a part of it. We'll catch you next time.